content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The theme of the November issue of Our State Magazine is Beauty in the Grain, featuring articles about the warmth of wood. The cover photo shows a picture of a bowl of unshelled pecans. But first up is the welcome message entitled Pages Past by the editor, Elizabeth Hudson. The old cookbook is bound in plywood, its cover stamped with the outline of an old-fashioned stove and the emblem of the Ashboro J-Sets, a woman's club in Randolph County. Two holes at the top are strung with black twine, no staples, no glue, and inside are hundreds of handwritten recipes from neighbors and friends my parents knew. They bought the book at the Ashboro Fall Festival in 1976. I can picture them carrying it home through the crowded streets, past booths filled with cornhusk dolls and macrame plant hangers, the air sweet with candied apples, smoky with barbecue. They were young then, eager to try new dishes and make them their own. Now, when I open the book, scraps fall loose, slips of paper bookmarking the meals I grew up on, chicken pot pie, squash casserole, the sweet potato pie that graced our Thanksgiving table for 40 years. Here's a Nilla Wafers box top tucked inside, its edges soft with age, the banana pudding recipe still intact, with my mother's neat note to add an extra half cup of milk. Here's a lasagna recipe from an old Skinner noodles box, my dad's careful hand revising the amounts, 10 slices of pasta, 20 ounces of cottage cheese, and the index cards from the kitchen of, like the one for chocolate pie from Margie Stidham, who taught toll painting in my mother's shop. Her husband, George, fought in World War II. I hold her card and wonder, was this his favorite? Did he look up from his plate and smile at her when she set it down? Food and family, page after page, lives layered one over another. These days, I go looking for books like this at estate sales, at thrift stores. I open every old cookbook, hoping for a flutter of clippings, a tilt of handwriting on a card, the trace of some forgotten casserole everyone once knew. A few weeks ago at Freedom House Thrift in Greensboro, I found a stack of gourmet magazines from the 1970s, glossy pages full of cognac ads and aspic recipes. I used to read piles like these at my grandmother's house, and it's no wonder I ended up in magazines myself. I've never stopped loving the weight of them, the smell of paper, the joy of turning a page. I've been reading through them at night, from one issue, November 1978, a slip of paper fell out. A grocery list for Thanksgiving, written in a stranger's hand, saved inside a magazine that waited nearly 50 years to find its way to me. I'll never know who wrote it, but there among the potatoes and rolls was a recipe for cranberry pie, new to me. This year, I think I'll make it. I'll put it next to our sweet potato pie, and I'll think of all the ways we save what matters. The scraps and clippings, the penciled notes and lists, the smudged cards, the slips from magazines, the hand-me-downs from hands long gone, all the fragments that add up to so much more than just food, but also memories and stories and love and life. And we give thanks for the feast. And now I'll take you on a descriptive journey through this month's photo essay entitled The Protectors, giving thanks to those who devote their lives to keeping safe what we hold dear. The Protectors of North Carolina. This month we give thanks to the men and women who devote their lives to keeping safe the people, places, and traditions we hold dear. And we have two officers in the first photo, two officers, John Hood and Don Montemuro, of the Raleigh Police Department's mounted unit, ride Luna and Willow through Dix Park. And you have the green expanse in the grassy hill of Dix Park with green trees. And in the background, you have the, not skyscrapers, but the tall buildings of Raleigh, downtown Raleigh. First up is the Raleigh Police Department Mounted Unit. The Raleigh Police Department has the largest mounted unit in the state. Officers apply because they love horses, and they take responsibility for the care and grooming of their equine partners, like Willow that we mentioned before. For years, Lieutenant David Davis would get smiles wherever he went because of his four-legged partners, Zeb and Major. From 2013 to 2018, as a member of the mounted unit of the Raleigh Police Department, Davis patrolled Raleigh from the back of a horse. His perch, at least 10 feet above the ground, gave him another perspective on what he felt called to do since he was a teenager. As a specialist in the U.S. Army Reserve stationed in Iraq, he helped protect people on the other side of the world. As a 19-year veteran with the Raleigh Police Department, now Chief Public Information Officer, he's helped protect people closer to home. He started in a police cruiser. He continued with Zeb and Major. Zeb, muscular and red, looked like a Clydesdale. Major, with his piebald coat of black, brown, and white, looked like a cowboy's best friend. Before they retired, Zeb and Major helped Davis keep people safe, reminding him of what he learned long ago in his family's 500-acre dairy farm in upstate New York. Take care of your animals, and they will take care of you. Next, we can move to New Bern Fire and Rescue, and Jonathan Gaskins. In the New Bern Fireman's Museum, housed in the city's former fire department, Jonathan Gaskins can feel the aura of history and family. His grandfather worked in that fire department. His dad, too. Both were volunteer firefighters. As a kid, Gaskins climbed onto the fire trucks. Today, as the city's fire marshal, he can climb the stairs and see a collection of photos of past fire chiefs. And there's his dad, Ralph Gaskins, 30-year veteran of New Bern Fire and Rescue, fire chief, 1987. Ask the younger Gaskins about this photo and the place that's now a museum, and his voice drops to a whisper. "It's just the times we got to spend together," he says haltingly. "He was my hero." Gaskins has spent 24 years with New Bern Fire and Rescue, one of North Carolina's oldest fire departments, and he's walked into danger and emergency situations to help his neighbors in the most vulnerable moments of their lives. His work embodies the words inscribed on the side of the city's fire engines, proudly serving since 1845. And the photos here are third-generation firefighter Jonathan Gaskin, as he grew up visiting his dad, and it shows a picture of him and his dad, at the 1928 fire station in New Bern. And that station is now the New Bern Fireman's Museum. On the other page, the facing page, there's a picture of him with a dog. Doesn't give a name for the dog, but standing there at the edge of an older, refurbished fire truck. And that same fire truck is depicted in a picture at the top of the page, from the 1928 fire station. It's an old-fashioned fire truck. Moving to Janice Allen in Wilmington with the North Carolina Land Trust. Two numbers tell you everything. In 1997, when Janice Allen became the Director of Land Protection for the North Carolina Coastal Land Trust, the organization had saved 3,952 acres. By the time she retired in December 2024, that number had grown to 91,101 acres. Allen played a huge role. During her 27 years at the nonprofit, she helped raise $150 million to acquire and keep intact the beauty of the land and wildlife habitats in 31 counties in the coastal plain of North Carolina. She worked closely with attorney Lee Leidy, and they complemented each other on land conservation projects like, as Alan says, peanut butter and jelly. And from those acres protected came spellbinding sights and sounds, like the cackling symphony of tundra swans echoing across Salters Creek. Those discoveries kept Alan going. Marjorie Keenan Rawlings once wrote, "I do not understand how anyone can live without some small place of enchantment to turn to," Alan says, and that's what the Land Trust strives to do, protect places of enchantment for people to enjoy. The North Carolina Coastal Land Trust created the Janice L. Allen Land Management Fund to honor Allen's work in protecting wild spaces in 31 eastern North Carolina counties. And there's a picture of Janice Allen on an overlook, rough-hewn overlook, overlooking over a small creek in the wetlands of North Carolina. And the facing page shows just a snippet of wildlife flora, some ferns and other sorts of coastal plants in varying shades of green. Moving toward the mountain to the Blue Ridge Conservancy, we'll learn about Eric Heigl and Ben Lucas in Blowing Rock. Eric Heigl and Ben Lucas see themselves as a team. Heigl anchors the front end and Lucas works the back end. Heigl helps families find ways to protect their land with conversation easements to keep it pristine and untouched. When Heigl finishes, Lucas begins. He shoulders a pack full of supplies, and in his sturdy pair of boots, he navigates the rugged terrain from Allegheny to Yancey counties. Using a smartphone loaded with mapping software, Lucas monitors more than 200 protected properties in 7 counties in northwestern North Carolina. He and Heigl talk face-to-face with landowners, some of whom steer clear of email. They want Heigl and Lucas to know that the land they hope to protect has fed families and their spirits for generations. The stories Heigl and Lucas hear fuel their work. Together with their Blue Ridge Conservancy colleagues, they preserve the beauty of North Carolina's mountains, protect them against unfettered development, and ensure that generations of hikers will continue to find Appalachian wonders like the bell-shaped bloom of a gray's lily on Three Top Mountain. Among the properties that Ben Lucas and Eric Heigl and their Blue Ridge Conservancy colleagues help protect are the agricultural fields of the Valley Crucis Conference Center and Holy Cross Church. And we have a picture of the two gentlemen atop a rock, overlooking the mountains with the mountains in the background. And the lower picture is of some flatlands. I guess this is probably part of the agricultural fields of the Valley Crucis Conference Center in Valley Crucis. And there's some land in the valley, and there's hay bales, rolled hay bales, and just varying shades of green looking toward the mountains, the higher mountains in the background. Next up is, of our protectors, it's on the medical front, the Duke Life Flight. That will focus on Corey Alderman and Patrick Falvey in Durham, based out of Durham. EMT and rescue specialist Corey Alderman and registered nurse Patrick Falvey rely on Duke Life Flight ambulances and helicopters to help them provide swift care to patients. When they step from a Duke Life Flight ambulance or helicopter, Corey Alderman and Patrick Falvey find people at their most vulnerable. They're most scared. They read the emotions in their faces, their body language, and what they say or don't say. They work to build trust and ease fears. Alderman is an advanced emergency medical technician and a certified rescue technician, and he keeps close his grandmother's advice. When things don't work, try harder. Put it in God's hands and keep trying. Falvey is a registered nurse, and he keeps close to the memory of a little girl. She was not even one when Falvey met her. Her heart had failed, and Falvey helped resuscitate her before flying her back to Duke Medical Center. Today, that little girl is 9 years old, and after many surgeries, she's active and relatively healthy. In a photo her family sent to Falvey, she's at the beach, laughing and building sandcastles. When Alderman and Falvey answer a call, a life so often hangs in the balance. They lean in, remember, and begin. "We're going to take good care of you," Falvey tells patients, holding their hands. And we have a picture of one of the helicopters of the Duke Life Flight on the ground with Patrick Falvey in front of it. Moving to the military, 82nd Combat Aviation Brigade, CW3 Evan Pronzati out of Fort Bragg. Chief Warrant Officer 3 Evan Pronzati flies the most powerful transport helicopter the Army has ever built, a 12-ton tandem rotor workhorse known as the CH-47 Chinook. It's as ominous as a thunderstorm when its blades chop the air, but the chest-rattling thump of its twin rotors was a most welcome sound last fall. In the aftermath of Helene, the storm that pummeled western North Carolina, Pronzati came to the rescue. Over an 11-day period, he and his fellow soldiers from the 82nd Combat Aviation Brigade at Fort Bragg delivered 810,000 pounds of supplies, food, water, blankets, generators, and fuel into some of the most isolated pockets of North Carolina. Pronzati was awed by the destruction he saw. When he landed, he was inspired by what he found, residents thanking soldiers, helping them offload supplies as kids walked up to the beast of a machine he flew and just stared. Immediately, Pronzati thought of his own kids, his son 6 and daughter 11, and began viewing his work as not just a job, but a calling. His mission? To help those who need it most. He has spent nearly 18 years in the U.S. Army, rising to a rank that distinguishes him as an experienced aviator with the leadership and organizational skills imperative to lead a mission. And we have a picture of him in the cockpit of that Chinook helicopter. Now turning to cultural protectors, the State Archives of North Carolina. Sarah Kuntz is our focus, and she's in Raleigh. In the basement of the State Archives of North Carolina, Sarah Kuntz walks into a big airtight vault that controls temperature and humidity, protecting items that tell the stories of North Carolina. These stories come from books, documents, and even scraps of paper, many of which are encapsulated in clear polyester film, stored in an acid-free folder, or kept in a frame behind UV protective glass in an acid-free velvet-lined box. Kuntz knows these stories well. Before retiring last spring after serving 13 years as North Carolina's state archivist, she could pull a folder from the shelves and tell a story that feels as sacred as a family Bible full of names and scribbled notes. Like this one, known as the Carolina Charter. It's kept in a box as big as a kitchen table. The whole package is at least 30 pounds and contains, under ultraviolet plexiglass, a framed legal document from 1663. Written on animal skin, it's as beautiful as a museum painting. In it, King Charles II granted land to the 8 Lords Proprietors, designated as the Territory of Carolina. Kuntz calls it North Carolina's birth certificate. Sarah Kuntz recently retired as the State Archivist of North Carolina, but for 13 years she oversaw the preservation and storage of 100 million items, among them the Carolina Charter, which I just read about that to you. And to kind of describe that to you, it is as beautiful as it was relayed earlier in that message, Charles II. And it's decorated around the outside edges meticulously with curving items, and there's birds and plants. It looks like there's a raptor type, maybe a hawk, and a picture of Charles II in that gold frame. And then we have a picture of her on the facing page, which is in front of a variety of shelving units, protecting all those cultural treasures. Continuing with the theme of cultural protectors, we have Cherokee Preservation Foundation featuring Tinker Jinx out of Cherokee, North Carolina. In her office, Tinker Jinx keeps a calming reminder of her roots and her mission. It's a gift from her mother, a needlepoint portrait of a Native American woman. Jinx is the senior program director for the Cherokee Preservation Foundation. Every year, she and others at CPF award nearly 30 grants to local organizations enhancing the lives of Cherokee people in western North Carolina. Take the Ray Kinsland Leadership Institute. Since 2007, by supporting three of the Institute's programs, CPF has prepared more than 300 members of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians for a lifetime of cultural leadership, or the Kittawa Preservation and Education Program. In 2019, by contributing to the school's new initiative, CPF has seen 25 adults so far learn how to speak Cherokee and keep relevant a language that's important to so many. Jinx sees her role as small, yet by funding organizations with big dreams in seven counties, she and CPF have created opportunities for Cherokee people on land their ancestors have called home for generations. It's like watching your little hatchlings leave the nest, she says. It's a very proud moment. So Tinker Jinx has helped Tanya Carroll, department manager of the Ray Kinsland Leadership Institute, with grants to support its programs. And the two of them are shown together. And there's a sign, and I'm assuming that the top of the thing, it says Cultural District, and I'm assuming that the bottom writing is in the Cherokee language. And on the facing page, you have a giant sculpture, or it appears to be a giant sculpture, of an Indian, and there's a great plume rising from the headdress of this Native American gentleman. Then we move to the protectors of children. Crossnore Communities for Children. This is focusing on Jerry and Deanna Olson out of Winston-Salem. They're sisters and brothers from families dealing with hardship. Jerry and Deanna Olson help them and their families pick up the pieces. The siblings stay with Jerry and Deanna for months at a time. They share stories, eat dinner together, and dote on the Olson's Labrador pointer mix named Rafi. Slowly, the families see life through a different lens on a former farm in Winston-Salem where cows once grazed and a red barn still stands. This land is now part of Crossnore Communities for Children, and the Olsons are part of the nonprofit's Bridging Families program. The couple works with a team of professionals to help siblings reunite with their families or find a forever home. Jerry, an ordained minister, and Deanna did mission work in Uruguay, Bolivia, and Puerto Rico as they raised two daughters. Today, they work at a place that United Methodists opened in 1909 as a school, farm, and home to educate and nurture children. The Olsons continue that caring tradition. They help families understand that hope and healing, safety and security aren't abstract concepts. They're real. They were drawn to Crossnore in 2018 to help nurture these children in need. You can't change the trauma of their past, Deanna says, but you can protect their future. And it shows a picture of them on that Crossnore farm with the tall buildings of downtown Winston-Salem in the distance. Following on with the theme of protectors of children, New Hanover County Schools crossing guard is Vada Keller from Wilmington. Miss Vada doesn't keep count, but it's been at least 35 years since she started standing in front of Wrightsboro Elementary, acting as a human shield and helping students stay safe as they cross busy Castlehaine Road on the way to and from school. She's there in all kinds of weather, a slender woman, 5 feet tall, in size 7 tennis shoes, wearing a bright yellow vest and holding a big red stop sign. She's known by two names, Ms. Veda or Grandma. She knows many of the students by their first names. They hug her and she hugs them, and on holidays, she'll give them candy or small gifts. But it's not the family familiarity that grabs everyone's attention. Nope. It's Ms. Veda herself. Veda Keller is 92, born in November 1933, and she never even thinks about stepping away from helping children stay safe. Before her 90th birthday, her boss told her, "Ms. Veda, I know you can do it." Her response, "I know I can do it too." And it has a picture of Ms. Veda holding up her sign with her yellow vest on. And while a young man crosses the road, she's stopping traffic. This is after 35 years of helping to protect school children crossing a busy state highway. Veda Keller has had her share of former students come up to her and say, "You're crossing my child now." And there's a picture of her in front of a picket fence with her yellow vest and red sign with a young lady who's hugging her. Now we have the protectors of animals. Naughty Donkey Farm Sanctuary. We're looking at Jody Helmer out of Albemarle. Jody Helmer has given all her farm animals names. There's Helen, the blind Americana chicken, Ozzy, the humming alpaca, Gaspar, the goose with the incessant honk you can hear from 50 yards away, and then there's Waylon. He's the donkey, and he's famous. Thank a three-year-old girl who was upset by his bossy ways and shouted, "No, Naughty Donkey, no!" Naughty Donkey Farm Sanctuary captures the curious. Dozens of volunteers help, and hundreds of visitors come during the nonprofit's two annual open house events. Only times the farm is open to the public. When they do, they grasp the gravity of what Helmer has undertaken. Since turning her hobby farm into a nonprofit in November 2021, Helmer and her volunteers have helped give more than 100 rescued farm animals a second chance on a three-acre refuge under the wide-open skies of Stanley County. They feed them, care for them, and love on them until the creature's last breath. At the very end, Helmer is right there beside the animals, honoring them for who they are. "These are our friends, not food," Helmer says, "and their lives matter." And it has a picture of her. It says, "Naughty Donkey gives rescued farm animals like Helen, and Waylon the care and love they need to thrive. It's been the hardest and best decision I ever made," Jody Helmer says. And it shows a picture of her on the farm holding the chicken, and then a picture of the naughty donkey on the other side. Well, that sound means we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.